Letters.
On education, Africa, tourism, Russia, and Lyndon Johnson.
Skills can't be transferred.
From Nigel Harvey, Professor of Judgment and Decision Research, University College London. You are right to be sceptical of school curriculums that focus on vaguely defined skills, such as team working. Article, School Scandal, July 13th. In Britain in the mid-1970s, a time of high unemployment and rapid job turnover, businesses complained about the high costs of training new employees for jobs they had not done before. Training initiatives such as the Youth Training Scheme and the Youth Opportunities Programme were created to teach unemployed young people skills that were transferable from one job to another. These tended to include leadership, team working, and having an insight into one's own capabilities. This ideology has spread throughout the educational system, into schools and now universities. The notion of transferable skills is not based on sound empirical research. You cannot expect that any past experience as a conductor leading an orchestra reduces the time it takes to be able to lead an army unit. According to Richard Schmidt, an authority on skilled behaviour, there is little evidence that such general inter-task transfer effects are possible. Transferable skills are a modern myth. From the 1940s until the mid-1970s, Britain and America had centres of excellence for empirical research into training and skill development. Their findings may not always have been welcomed by governments, but dismissing them in favour of convenient inventions has led to long-term damage to our educational system.
From Dr. Hetty Rusing, Professor Emerita, Workland School of Education, University of Calgary. The importance and benefits of good handwriting are completely missing from discussions of improving academic standards. More than being simply a mechanical skill, handwriting engages the hand-brain complex and lays down the neurocircuitry for meaning, memory, and later retrieval of information. Habitual handwriting opens up space for generating good ideas, organizing them on the page, and constructing nuanced vocabulary choices. Good handwriting requires explicit instruction and lots of practice in a child's early education to gain the fluency needed to engage with the demands of content curriculum in later stages. Especially important is the transition to connected script or cursive hand that affords fluency. By our reckoning, less than 50% of 9 to 10-year-olds in Canada have the necessary threshold of fluency in place to meet the concomitant demands of academic work. Cursive handwriting is being reintroduced on the curriculum. Ontario did so in 2023. There is a growing recognition of the research in the cognitive and neurosciences documenting its many benefits. All children, regardless of socioeconomic or language status, clever or not so much, are capable of producing good handwriting.
Digital markets in Africa.
From Pierre Guislain, former vice president for the private sector and infrastructure at the African Development Bank, Cascais, Portugal. Mobile telecoms have succeeded in Africa thanks to policies that promoted competition. Article Africa 2.0, July 27th. Policies on broadband, digital infrastructure and artificial intelligence should draw inspiration from this. Such policies are often resisted by powerful incumbents and need effective regulation. And for many African countries, the landlocked ones in particular, better broadband and digital infrastructure will also require regional collaboration and integration. Although the African Continental Free Trade Area offers hope, national champions often stand in the way. Nationalistic reflexes also push many governments to restrict data mobility, for example, by requiring storage in national data centres under the guise of national sovereignty. Similar sensitivities exist regarding digital identity or payment systems, where national systems are not interoperable with those of neighbouring countries. Africa needs continental or at least regional or sub-regional agreements to create markets of sufficient size to attract private investment and encourage the development of new services at scale. The long-term goal should be a single digital market at continental or regional level. The current tech leaders in Africa, Egypt, Kenya, Nigeria, and South Africa, should take the lead in this regional integration effort, or at a minimum, refrain from slowing it down.
Harry Potter Globetrotters.
From Stuart Patton, Dunkeld, Perth and Kinross. I read your article on cities that are overcrowded with tourists while sitting with my teenage daughter, drinking tea from a flask, waiting for a steam train to cross a Victorian viaduct. Article Beat the Crowds, August 3rd. The remote village of Glenfinnan in the West Highlands of Scotland suffers from incredible over-tourism during the summer season. One morning I saw about 500 people, overwhelmingly non-British, patiently waiting for the train on a grass bank and being eaten by midges. Assuming the same number for the afternoon train each day for a four-month summer season means around 120,000 people visit a village with a population of about 130, or 920 tourists per resident, vastly more than any of the cities listed in your article. Spending per person, the car parking fee, an excellent coffee and cake, and a tin of shortbread, is substantially lower than the $11,000 per person in Amsterdam. But visitors are probably coming not just for the connection to Bonnie Prince Charlie. Perhaps the use of images of the railway viaduct in a number of the Harry Potter films is the greater draw for this throng of visitors.
Soothing the Russian Bear.
From Dr. Henning Stein, Zurich. The moral and legal justifications you gave for Ukraine's incursion into Russia's Kursk region were sound. Article, Moral and Legal, but Risky, August 17th. But your approval of Ukraine using Western weapons against Russia is a perilous miscalculation. A focus on tactical details neglects the deeper issue. Vladimir Putin's claims may be seen as propaganda, but they reflect genuine Russian fears about Western overreach, particularly NATO's expansion efforts. In 2008, Angela Merkel warned George W. Bush that this would provoke Russia, which it has. If the West is serious about ending this conflict and avoiding a potential Third World War, it must acknowledge these concerns in any future negotiations.
No, you are.
From Simon Arbuthnot, London. Lexington's column on The Wisdom of Calling Donald Trump Weird, article August 10th, seems to be borne out by the Republicans' recent outburst on a radio show. They're the weird ones. Nobody's ever called me weird. I'm a lot of things, but weird I am not. Forcing your opponent to deny something that you've described him to be reminds me of a story, probably apocryphal, about Lyndon Johnson. When running for the Senate, Johnson let it be known that one of his opponents enjoyed the carnal pleasure of one of his farmyard sows. "That isn't true," one of LBJ's aides said. "I know," LBJ replied, "but I'm going to make the bastard deny it."